Is divorce the answer to your troubled marriage? Please don't allow yourself to become a statistic. Catholic Parents Online is next. And welcome to Catholic Parents Online, a program that explores the issues Catholic parents face while raising their children. I'm your host, Colleen Perfect. Marriage is a sacrament. Through God, it is a sign of grace. But with divorce all around, it seems easier to end a marriage than to fix it. What kind of message are we sending our children? Are we pushing God away and refusing the grace He is offering us? Can we become humble enough to accept this grace? With us to discuss the importance and meaning of marriage as a sacrament is Father Robert Altier of the St. Paul Minneapolis Archdiocese. Thank you for joining us again, Father.
It's good to be back, Colleen. Thank you.
Father, as we talk about the sacrament of marriage, we have to talk about love being the foundation of marriage. Could you talk about what the word love really means?
It's actually a very important question because it's completely misunderstood by most people today. Oftentimes at weddings, I will look at the couple who's being married and I'll talk to them about love and I'll kind of point to the people out in the congregation and remind them if we took a poll of all the people here about what love is, we would probably not get the right answer out of very many of them, which is a pretty sad statement because we think about it, we're made in the image and likeness of God, and God is love. So we're made to love and to be loved. It's the very essence of our being. And yet we see that original sin has so badly affected us and our own sins on top of it that we don't even know what it is. So again, the question, what is love? My favorite definition of love is doing always what is best for the other. Love is a virtue. St. Paul makes that very clear in his first letter to the Corinthians. There are three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, or love. And he tells us the greatest of these is love because faith and hope will end when we get to heaven, but love will remain. That's what we're going to do for eternity. So again, when you think of marriage, it's preparation for eternity. It's two people learning how to love perfectly, which is what they're called to do forever. Now, so to talk about it as a virtue then means that it is to remain the same, that is the disposition of it, but it is to grow every single day. There should never come a day in a marriage when a person, one of the persons in the marriage, would look at the other person and say, I don't love you anymore, or I don't love you as much today as I did yesterday. What that does is it makes love an emotion. I don't feel like I love you. I don't have good feelings toward you. Anyone who's been married for any number of years knows that marriage isn't about good feelings. They might last for a couple of months at the beginning of your marriage, and then it gets difficult for a while. There are going to be some good times, and there are going to be hard times. If love was just simply based on feeling good, marriages would fall apart within the first year. And so it has to go beyond that. And anyone who has struggled through those difficulties knows that it is precisely the hardships of the marriage that make the love grow stronger, that develop that love for one another. And so what happens is that most people think that love is about an emotion, about feeling good, about being happy. They say, oh, we're in love. That's that nice warm feeling in our heart when we're together. And well, what happens when the nice warm feeling goes away?
Right.
It's not a nice warm feeling. There are emotions that come with love, which is why when it's wonderful, it's really wonderful. And when it's not, it's really hard. Because the emotions go with the love, but the love has to be beyond the emotion. And so it's to learn how to give totally every moment of every day. And that's, again, why God allows married couples to have so many years most often, because we don't start that way.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn how to love. We have to put love into practice. And so we have to make the choice every single day to pour ourselves out. And as I point out to the couples, when things are easy, it doesn't require much love. It's when you come home and you feel like driving by instead of pulling into the driveway. It's when you want to just slam things down and walk the other direction But instead, you have to stop and say, no, I need to talk to this person. I need to talk to this person with kindness. I need to listen to this person. I need to try to give just as if everything were going real well. If I had wonderful emotions, or if I have very painful emotions, I still have to give. And that's the vow that's made in marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we think about that, a vow isn't just a nice idea. It is a solemn promise that is made to God and to that other person. And it's only made to one other person. You don't make a vow to love everyone else. It's easy to love them because you see them for a few hours and then you go home. But when you go home, as you know, there's one other person there, and that's the one that will be most easy to take for granted. It will be the one most easy to not love, and it's the one most easy to use, that is to seek the self. But that's exactly what marriage is supposed to break us of. It's two people seeking the good of one another rather than seeking one's own good. And so it's a means of giving. It's about a relationship. It's two people united together looking for one another's good.
Hmm. Father, what does the church say about the marriage being indissoluble?
What the church teaches about the indissolubility of marriage is that once a couple is married, mm-hmm. that their souls are literally joined together. That's based on what Jesus teaches us in the Gospels, in Matthew 19 and in Mark 10, about marriage, that the couple is married for life. And the disciples remind him, the Pharisees here remind him that Moses allowed for divorce. And Jesus said, but that's not what God intended from the beginning. So he sends us back to see what God intended with regard to marriage and lets us see that marriage is for life because the souls are united. And he tells us what God has joined, man must not divide. So it's not what the state says about marriage. It's not what the laws have to say, and it's not the two people who join themselves. You and your husband cannot join yourselves. If you ran at one another from across the room, that wouldn't put your souls together. Mm-hmm. Only God can do that. He recreates the persons that he created to make them into one. And that oneness is there until death. When one of the spouses dies, that ends the marriage. And because what God has in heaven waiting for us is an even more intimate union than that union of the union of souls, which when we ponder that, we can't imagine anything that's closer than two souls actually being united. But to know that that's just a foreshadowing of what God has in heaven, where the couple will not only be united with one another, but with the Lord and with everyone who's a member of the mystical body in heaven.
Well, Father, if that's so, then what is annulment?
What an annulment is, that's a study that the church would do if a marriage does break up, then the couple can ask that the church would consider or look at their marriage, look at their sacrament, and ask the question, was there ever a sacrament? That is, were the two souls actually joined together? And if the answer to that is no, that there was something seriously wrong at the moment that this couple got married, so serious, in fact, that it would make the marriage invalid, then the church would grant an annulment, which simply means that there was never a sacrament. The two souls were not united together. And I should point out with that, because people often get confused, they say, well, if that's the case, what about the children? Does that make them illegitimate? The answer is no. There's a civil element of the marriage, and then there's the sacramental element of the marriage. All of the rights of inheritance and all of those things are guaranteed by the state. And so what the church does is that we assume the marriage to be valid until proven otherwise. So once that couple is married, provided they're married according to the proper form, then we assume that the souls are united. Only if there is a divorce and the couple totally separates would we ever consider even asking the question of whether or not that there would be a cause for an annulment.
Okay, thank you very much, Father. Hardships that come with marriage are often overwhelming, but divorce isn't always the answer. Do you feel the call to repair your marriage? We'll discuss an option when we return.
Ave Maria.
Welcome back. To love, honor, and cherish are the words spoken during the sacrament of marriage. What about the pain, anger, and resentment that we many times experience? Can we save a failing marriage? With us today are Sean and Kim Doyle. They are the executive coordinating couple for Twin Cities Retrovi. Sean and Kim, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Could we start by talking a little bit about the history of Retrovi, and actually first begin by what the word Retrovi means?
Retrovi is a French word, and it means to rediscover.
Okay.
And
the program itself actually started in a province of Quebec in 1977, and it was a totally French-speaking program. And then in 1982, it moved to Toronto. And they actually added another part to the program, which was the post portion of the program. And then shortly after that, it became added the English version and started to bring it down into other parts of Canada as well as the United States. And Twin Cities Retrovi actually had their first weekend. Their first Retrovi weekend was in 1989. So
quite a while ago.
Yes, we're quite an extensive community.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the two of you got involved with Retrovi?
Well, we actually had our weekend in 1998. Kim and I were having trouble in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so Kim had seen in our parish bulletin the little notice about Retrovi. And,
okay.
And we have that in one of our talks. And we talk about how we discovered the program. We went on the weekend, and we've been involved ever since in all different aspects of the program.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. You're now the executive coordinator, so you've really
Yes.
been involved.
Yes.
Well, I think the thing that for me when I called on the program was that I found out that the help didn't stop at the end of the weekend, that it wasn't like a weekend retreat thing, that it actually was a continuation and that the support system was there ongoing forever. And that was something that was lacking for Sean and I. We had been through other marriage counseling and had worked with a priest, too, throughout the years. And this, when we attended Retrovi, we were at 18 years of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now married 22 years.
22 years.
So,
congratulations.
Yes. And we thank Retrovi for that and God.
That's right. You have how many? Three children?
Three children, yes.
Okay. And what was I going to ask you? It isn't necessarily just a Catholic program, I understand.
The origin is Catholic. However, there's any faith can attend the program. We accept any denomination into the program, but the origin is Catholic, and there are teachings of the Catholic Church within the program. But we certainly welcome any type of denomination to come. We want to save any marriage
That's
we can.
Right.
Yes. And we have couples that are married a year that come, and we have couples that are married 35 years that come. So we've got a variety, a diversity in age, as well as different backgrounds and professions. And so it's a...
you were talking about how priests present this, too, and you were saying how
yes.
even priests will come through this. And you want to explain a little bit why a priest would come?
The priests also interact in the program, and they write their story as well, and some of the challenges that they may have faced in their priesthood, similar to how a husband and wife have challenges in their marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the priests will also come on the weekend, and they attend the entire weekend with all of the couples. So it's very spiritual as well. It's
mm-hmm.
it's very nice.
The weekend actually is made up, the presenting team is made up of three couples and a priest. And then what they do is they actually share their personal stories. And they're very intimate details of the breakdown of their marriage and their relationship, but also how those relationships changed by gaining new tools that are presented throughout the program. And then how they were able to work and gain support through the community of Retrovi, and to how they could heal those hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And the important element, another important element, is that the program is really a three-phase program. So the weekend is the first part, but these marriages didn't break down overnight. So, you know, for us, the weekend was just a time for us to really be able to look at ourselves as individuals and to then realize that, you know, our couplehood was an important element for us. But we needed more. We needed to relearn how to do things. Mm-hmm. And so then there's 13 sessions or 13 sessions that are presented afterward that give you new concepts. And then there's homework time that the couples go home and can work on those new areas that they're discovering. And when they're finished with that, there's a third phase, and it's called CORE, and that's continuing our retrovi experience. And that's where the community of all graduates, you might say, from the program continually support each other. And there's facilities throughout the Twin Cities and actually internationally that have scheduled CORE meetings on a regular basis, and those dates and places are published, so anyone can attend anywhere. And you know that you're always going to find a group of support there. And they do marriage enrichment activities together, share on their communication skills that we work on in Retrovi, and just find a community of support where couples are prioritizing their marriage, mm-hmm. which is different than what Sean and I found in today's society. So it's been a fabulous new community for
it
us.
Sounds wonderful. Is it? Sometimes I wonder if it's the best kept secret there is around.
Well, we sometimes
we're doing a show on it.
So. Yes, many couples will say this was. Why don't we hear about this more often? What? You know, this is just fabulous. Everybody should go to this, whether their marriage is having trouble or not. We hear that so often.
Now, it's different from marriage encounter, and it's more for troubled marriages, but it's on the same.
It's some of the things that we teach in Retrovi it was actually developed from marriage encounter.
Okay.
So some of the techniques came from marriage encounter, but as marriage encounter found that more and more couples had deeper problems than what a marriage encounter weekend could handle. And so that's where Retrovi really came in and got a little deeper into some of those things. So marriage encounter, we're very much in favor of marriage encounter mm-hmm. as well. And we know that's an excellent program. And this is for people that are in a little bit deeper trouble.
We're going to spend some more time talking with you. We're going to take a little break. God brings us to marriage, or does God bring us to marriage? Or does marriage bring us to God? Please stay with us. God created man and woman for one another, with marriage in his plan. To continue this discussion, we welcome back Sean and Kim Doyle. Thanks for joining us again. We're continuing to talk about this, the Retrovi program, and I know it's not called a program, I keep saying that, about Retrovi.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, why does this seem to have such a great success rate?
Really, I think that Retrovi has been so successful because it's a peer ministry. Mm-hmm. It's all volunteer, and it's all couples that have been through the program that are really telling their own story. And when you're on that weekend and you're hearing another couple's story, it's so credible and it's so real, and you can put yourself in their shoes, and it just really, the healing process is so credible in that area versus, not to take anything away from counselors, but they don't necessarily put themselves in your shoes or have a story for you. They're here there to listen to your story.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes Retrovi a valuable tool.
I think one other component that's really important is that with a group like Retrovi, you're going through this with a support group of other couples who are struggling just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Very different than the individual counseling that you get with a marriage counselor. You find out you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, that was a great, great help.
That's where the healing comes
yes.
from.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Well, why do you think that some marriages just fail? There's no way out.
I think it's partly, as Father Altier had said before, Many couples, I think, come into marriage and they think that love is a feeling. And love is not a feeling. Love is a decision that you make every day in your relationship. And after Retrovi, I guess for me personally, one of the things that I found is that my responsibility to Kim is to be a caretaker of her and to really cherish our relationship and honor it in front of God. And that's what we've done, and I think that's where society maybe is slipping a little bit, and that's why some marriages fail.
I think there's so much individualism and, you know, the married singles lifestyle that's popular in today's society, and Sean and I got caught up in that. And I think, you know, one thing that we touch on in Retrovi is the infidelity in a marriage. And you know, fidelity to a marriage means that we need to be faithful to our marriage commitment. And, you know, everyone thinks of infidelity as sexual infidelity, and there's much, much more than that. And I know I was guilty, and I never even thought of it until the Retrovi program points out things that, you know, what is being, you know, not, what is not being a fidelity to your marriage is things that take time away from the priority of your relationship. And for me, my kids was number one. I was running them everywhere. I was doing everything for them and volunteering, you know, and all those things are good things. But again, we have to put that back in perspective. And Sean and I, we didn't have time for each other. We had time, and then the extended family, and that came next. And we kept getting lower on the list.
Right. Right.
And this helped me see why we failed. And I don't think it's an uncommon thing. I think it's very common in today's society. So
it happens so slowly, and it's just kind of
innocent. It's very innocent, and you know, it's...
You wake up one day and you don't know who is that person that you're living
with. How about this whole idea of living together before marriage? Isn't that one of the statistics are showing that is one of the causes of marriage breakup?
Statistics are showing that couples who have been living together prior to marriage are achieving the misery stage of their marriage much quicker because they're living their life together in those 3 or 4 years before they're married, and then the blues or the blahs tend to set in sooner because they've already had an established relationship and are living together and they're having probably a sexual relationship as well, and it just comes on quicker.
Well, with the time we have left, could you please tell us now how we can get more information on, and the viewers can get more information on Retrovi?
Well, first of all, we do 12 weekends a year in the Twin Cities Retrovi, so it's readily available once every month. And maybe Kim, you can talk about how we can.
Yep, we have it's an international ministry, so for couples that are not located in the Twin Cities, there is a 1-800 number that we'll be giving out for you, and you can call that number. There's also a local number in that phone. There's someone to answer that phone all of the time and can get more information on sent to you, and then decide if you want to sign up to come to a weekend. We also have a website, both an international and one for Twin Cities, and then those will be linked to yours.
We will have it on our website, on Catholic Parents Online. But if you want to just mention what the website is right now, real quickly,
The international website is www.retrovi, which is spelled RetrovielleE.org.
Okay.
And the Twin Cities one is the same as that, except there's a slash after the org, and then you add TCR. .htm.
Okay. And real quickly, there's a World Marriage Day coming up in February, is it?
Yes. We're also involved in a Twin Cities Marriage Ministries group that represents Marriage Encounter and some of the other worldwide Marriage Encounter, Engaged Encounter. And February 10th at the Cathedral, 12 noon, is Worldwide Marriage Day, and we would invite all couples to come and celebrate their marriage at the Cathedral.
Yes. Oh, thank you. And they can get more information on the website, I would imagine. Or is that not going to be on this website?
It may not be on the website.
We'll put information on
We'll get
website.
Information out there.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you so much,
right.
Both of you.
Thank you, Colleen.
Marriage is two people brought together and united through God. He empowers people with his graces to bear up their burdens.
While the troubles may be overwhelming, remember, we will prevail because we are married under God. We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments, questions, or even suggestions for future shows, please contact Catholic Parents Online by calling us at 952-882-6704 or logging on to our website at www.catholicparents.org. Thanks for watching, and God bless you and yours.